We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ron, if I didn't know any better, I'd say I wasn't very well liked around here. I've now asked 8 or 9 people since yesterday if they want to play 9 holes at Mount Lebanon after the show. You wouldn't believe the array of excuses. I got one semi-confirmation from our friend Doran Dickerson yesterday. You tell me if this is a... Folsey, I hope you're well, and please feel free to chime in.
Is this a Belfont snorkel?
This is like the wrestling move of Belfont snorkels, like off the top rope here. And Doran was a wrestler. Here's how it went. And of course, I love Doran. You know that, Ron. Golf at 2:30 tomorrow? That's me. Where at? He says, Mount Lebanon. That might work. My response, okay, we're in. Let's do this.
Again, there was always the qualification.
I know.
Might work.
It might work. I'm taking
never,
that. I took that
definitely.
One.
I'll see you there at 2:30.
Right. I took that one and ran with it. And I said, okay, we're in. Let's do this. 9 holes. His response wasn't okay. It was, are you watching this Heat game? It sucks. Mine was, no, I'm driving. And of course, was pulled over at that point, Ron. Not by the police, but pulled over to text. I'm not driving and texting.
Right.
My response to that, as we veer off here to the Heat game, was, I'll see you at Mount Lebanon at 2:30.
Pretty definitive statement on your part.
Have you been to that course? That was at 10:17 p.m. He now claims he was asleep, despite the fact that less than an hour earlier he tweets or texts, are you watching this Heat game? It sucks.
He might have fallen asleep in that hour. That's reasonable.
Well, he woke up at 3:30 because his next text.
I do that all the time.
His next text was, actually, my son has a game at 4. How about Wednesday? So, Ron, and then I responded with an expletive at 6:22 a.m. See, and then we just had a conversation.
You're taking this personally that they don't like you.
No.
They don't like your golf game. They don't want to play with a hacker like you.
Well, that's not half the story. I came in and asked the entire office individually, including people like Crowley, who are off at 2 o'clock, if they would play at 2:30.
They want nothing
Nobody.
To do with you.
Crowley's off now. What am I talking about, 2 o'clock?
They want nothing
Colsey,
to do with you.
I said, how about me and you have a little bonding session? Folsey, now that you're here and not calling in sick this week, how about we go?
Does he even play golf?
He doesn't even have an excuse. Do you play golf?
Occasionally. I'm not a huge golf guy.
I don't like the light on in that room,
I don't like
way.
It either. I was going to try
you turn
it out.
It off?
Yeah, those lights.
Something's very distracting
about
that.
They're coming from here.
No, they're not. He's got the lights on
in
his
room. Yeah, but I see the lights, the reflection of
there
you
we
see
go.
These lights
they're
are
off
reflecting.
Now. Horse never did that. You heard from Horse this morning?
I did hear from Horse. I wrote him a note. I said, hey, how's the job going? Do you miss us? Do you miss Starkey singing? And he responds, I do miss it. All is good. The show sounds better now that you have a real producer.
I like that. Now, Folsey, is this like us bringing up an old girlfriend here? Like, is this, do you get jealous when we talk of Horse?
No.
No, you're okay with it?
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
Do you miss Horse?
Long live Horse. Yes, I
Long
miss Horse.
Horse. Do you play golf?
Occasionally, I do, yes.
Will you play with me one day?
I will.
Just don't ask him to pin down a date.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him be very vague about it.
Well, you do ask people the day of to go golfing, like you did this morning.
I know,
but isn't
that the way life is, Ron? Spontaneity? There's nothing better in my life than spontaneous road trips, by the way. I'd leave a party somewhere in Buffalo, say you want to drive to Cleveland. Yeah, let's go. And then we go to the game the next day.
That's fun.
Why don't people be more, why aren't they more spontaneous?
Because people have responsibilities.
People suck, Ron.
They have families. They have kids.
I don't feel well. ballsy.
See, you can't
I've
just
had a
pick
giant
up-
mug of something called Guatemalan coffee from Uptown Coffee in Mount Lebanon, and it has affected me. What, Ron?
I said, you can't just pick up and go. You have a daughter that your life revolves around her.
Yeah, I know, but I make arrangements
if need
be. If I say,
let's go to Buffalo to see Bink and Evie, you say, well, I can't because I got obligations. And that's doing something good to see your parents. Playing golf with you is not something good.
Obligations change, Ron. And we need to have more spontaneity in our lives. You and I should take a Thelma and Louise-like road trip. Maybe drive off a cliff.
Didn't that end
like
in disaster?
Yeah. You remember?
Is this before or after the couples therapy that we're scheduling
after
already?
I spoke to a guy last night, an actual licensed therapist who's willing to come on with us and mediate. Can you imagine, Ron, how much fun we would have with that?
With Pompeiani, right?
With Bob one day, and then I think you and I could use the help as well. How are you today? I like the shirt. It's a semi-Hawaiian shirt.
It is like scenic, isn't it?
Very.
It's very scenic. I'm doing quite well. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm just going to go over there and tell them.
Play by yourself, I guess.
Well, the problem is it's 2 to 4 players. They won't let you in by yourself, but I'm going to, basically go over and lie and say, oh, look, this former pit guy, Doran Dickerson, was going to play, and he just texted me, can I play the course alone? And I think they'll let me, right?
You're a celebrity. They'll let you. You're a big timer in the city.
Should I drop Folsey's name when I get there?
You don't have to. You just drop. I'm Joe Starkey. Do you know who I am? Play the Do You Know Who I Am game.
Colony actually played that card once, didn't he?
I believe he
did.
Did
he use those exact words? Was
no,
it with the
he
police?
Goes, don't
or
you
who?
Know, he goes, I'm a celebrity at that station.
Who did he say that to?
I'm a major personality. No,
the people,
is that what he said?
The woman who worked here set it all up and had the foursomes, and he was left out, and he started yelling at her, you know, I'm a celebrity at this station. And he never lived that one down.
Did you hear about his balls, Ron?
I haven't heard about his balls.
Folsey, you have the commercial. He's got none.
I've heard about
his
balls.
Is that what the whole tournament revolves
he's
around?
He's looking
that, right?
For his balls, yes.
Right. When is that? Next Tuesday or something?
I don't know the exact date. I'll have to listen more intently.
Maybe we can have him on to speak of such things.
We should.
Ron Hextall spoke. Ron is over there just slithering down in his seat. Ron Hextall spoke yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And had some very interesting things to say. Would you like to hear some of those and opine on them?
Yes, he did. And yes, I would. And yes, I will.
You know what? I had these in order, but what the hell? Let's let Folsey choose them. It'll be sort of a surprise, Folsey's surprise, and we'll riff on them. How do you like that?
I love to riff.
Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Folsey, the floor is yours.
All right, let's start with this one.
You remember the first shift of the first game? Jake there, through. I felt like that was pretty bad. I felt like there was some intent there. Sids, I think there was intent, and I think it's arguable whether there was intent to injure or it was just intent to let him get to the net. But it's certainly unfortunate. I think the headshots, I believe, we as a league have to continue to talk and evaluate where we are with headshots because it's an issue that's prevalent in sports, and we need to continue to move forward and try to better our system where we try to get them out as much as possible, hopefully at some point completely out.
Well, he better talk to his boss, who has no problem with that kind of rough hockey, if you will. I'm talking about Brian Burke. We had him on last year. Had no problem with how these games are officiated. Says, I don't want officials to determine the outcome. Well, when you let those kind of shots go without penalty, you are having the officials decide it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what true. He said he doesn't know if it was intent to injure. Well, he went high. What intent did he have there, if not to injure?
I agree with you.
Or knock him out of the series.
And it's not really even necessarily the Crosby hit that makes me want to indict Trouba. It's the one from the beginning of the series that Hexie, and by the way, I loved his voice in that. He sounded like a classic hockey guy there. You know what I mean? Like he wanted a piece of Trouba.
And would if he'd have been on the ice.
Can we hear just the first couple of lines from Hexie? How about this? Can you imagine Hexie with a stick in his hands the way he went after Robbie Brown? That's this Hexie, Ron.
You remember the first shift of the first game? Jake there, True. I felt like that one was pretty bad. I felt like there was something
bad
there.
And that was not the first game, though. That was early in that game, the same game that Sid went out.
It was also game one. It was game one where they went after Gensel early. And they went after
Marino. Well, they went
after
Gensel the whole game. Yeah, yeah, you're right. But I don't think there was a penalty called, was there?
There was
early
one.
On.
There wasn't on that one.
Now, the one in game five at the very start.
Also Gensel.
That was a penalty
yes,
on Trouba.
Yes.
Okay. They were hitting people. That first game, the first period.
They were headhunting.
Reeves was hitting people.
They were headhunting, right. And I'm glad that Ron Hextall spoke up about it. I like that. I like that coming out of the Penguins organization. And I agree with them 100% that the NHL, that this still needs to be something that they fix, but I don't think that they really have a desire to take this out of the game. I think they like having that element.
And this certainly isn't an issue just involving the Penguins. You see these hits all over the place every night in these games.
Yes. So what do you think should be done?
You got to figure out a way whether there's intent or no intent. If there's a hit to the head, maybe the guy gets thrown out of the game, like you said, and they do in the NBA. But I don't think they want that. They like that element of physicality. Whether somebody gets nearly killed on the ice, they don't care. I guess they'll care if he actually does get killed. But they like that element of physicality.
I think you can still have a game that's plenty physical and take headshots out of it.
I talked to Mike Sullivan at length about this last week. That's what he said. I'm all in favor of good, clean, hard hockey, but you don't have to have the head hits. Just what you're saying.
So why not have it like the NBA? Somebody gets clocked in the head, they stop the game. I don't necessarily
why
put
not?
This on the officials. I don't. The game is happening at a very – same with football. Both sports should do what the NBA does. If you have a head shot that needs to be looked at again, then stop the game and look at it.
I'm with you. I don't blame the officials at all. They're calling the game the way they're told to call the game.
Right, and they're going to miss stuff.
And they're going to miss stuff. But I think bottom line is they're told, unless it's absolutely blatant, you don't call it. Or it's a two-minute interference penalty,
yes,
as opposed to sending somebody out of the game.
Yes, and if we need 10 different replays from every conceivable angle to have an educated opinion on a hit, how can we expect them at 100 miles an hour to make an educated
right.
call or an informed call, the right call? So why not do this? Sidney Crosby just went down, you know? Although he did come back and play, which would have complicated in this matter. It would have. But on a lot of these, you stop the game, you take a look, you make sure you get it right, because really what's more important than, like, people's brains while they're playing the game, you know? And if that means some delays in the game, and it does in the NBA, I'm all right with that, Ron. I really am.
You know, I asked Sullivan about this, and I even phrased it this way. Why does the league protect the Troubas instead of the Crosbys?
You asked him that?
I did.
What
did
he say?
He just goes, there's people who are on different sides of the fence of that. Some people love that kind of contact. Other people don't. He's on the one side of the fence that doesn't like it.
I just don't think that high hits, headshots, need to be a part of the game, or by taking them out, you would completely compromise the physical nature of the game. They've already taken a lot of stuff out.
That's his
point.
And
it still looks like a pretty physical game to me.
That was his point exactly. That was Sullivan's point exactly.
All right. Well, did you see last night David Perron take that shot at Kadri after he scored a goal and he missed? And in my opinion, the NHL loves to adjudicate these matters based on whether you injured a guy. Perron should be suspended for the shot that he took at Kadri and missed. Did you see it?
I did not see that one.
I'll show you during the break here.
Okay.
It's a goal by Kadri, of course,
who had a hat trick. And in response to the death threats he was receiving
right.
from St. Louis fans for running into Binnington.
Right. And shame on Craig Berube, by the way, for not mentioning, like, in the morning or something. Now, I know he was critical of Kadri. He has a right to be, in a way. I don't think Kadri did anything wrong, by the way. But Kadri does have a history in the playoffs of just what we're speaking of.
He's been suspended before.
But to see what happened, and then not come back the next morning and try to send a message to your fans, like, listen, back off. This is ridiculous with this guy. In my opinion, you have to say something. But I'll show you what Perron did after one of the goals. He went after the guy's head with an elbow. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm just faking this. Did you see it, Matt?
I did see it.
And he
missed. What did you think?
I think that it was, if he would have landed it, it would have been catastrophic.
Yes. And an unbelievable cheap shot because you're never expecting it after you score a goal like
that.
So
was there any penalty or anything?
No penalty.
Nothing.
And there's no way the NHL will do anything about it.
No, because he didn't make contact.
He didn't make
contact.
Now,
if he'd have killed him, they'd have suspended him for 6 games.
Unbelievable, the stuff that happens in this league. But the moral of that story is, some for me anyway, is somebody in the Penguins organization prominently now has spoken out against it, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, Jim Rutherford did a number of years ago,
yeah.
too. Very much, and nothing has really changed.
Not only did he speak out against it, he put up basically his middle finger to the whole league and said, I'm going to go out and get Ryan Reeves.
And he did.
The heavyweight champion of the world. And that didn't exactly work out for him, but I think he took a measure of satisfaction from doing that. And I think guys like Sidney Crosby and Gino loved having Reeves around. They like that.
I
they
do.
Like the idea of it.
I think so, too.
All right, Ron. Maybe, God bless you.
That was a cough, but thank you. I know you're trying to diversify with the God bless
you. I am, yeah. Do you like that, Maddie? The God bless you for a cough as well?
Notice it's Maddie again today.
It is.
We flip-flop here between Folesy and Maddie.
We've talked about this
and
before.
And Coltsy.
I feel like coughs should be saluted in some way. Why should they just be ignored if we're going to go to the great length of saying God bless you on a sneeze?
On a sneeze.
Yeah. Maybe something a little lesser for a cough, but something. Yeah.
You're so good looking.
Are coughs?
I like that. Yeah.
As serious as sneezes, you think?
Maybe
as far
more
as, like,
so.
The sick level?
Maybe more so. Think about that, will you?
I will.
Not nearly as bad. Not nearly as bad though as explosive diarrhea.
No. So what should we have said to Crowley? But you don't want to be around for that to salute somebody.
Salute him from afar.
The bigger story from what Hexy said yesterday was, wow, it looks like, if you believe this, and we'll ask this question next, that the Penguins really do have intent on keeping Gino and Letang, of keeping the core intact. If you believe it, let's talk about that next. 412-928-9370. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Live coverage of every Pirates game on the Fan, now available through the Odyssey app. Wherever you are in the Pittsburgh area, you can listen to every pitch of the Pirates game on Odyssey. Search 93.7 The Fan on the Odyssey app, or tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 The Fan. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Man, it sure looked like the wind was blowing one way, and now it's blowing another when it comes to the Penguins keeping the core intact. And by core, we mean Letang and Malkin. That's what we mean. That's what everybody means. And now, I'm going to play for you a clip from Ron Hextall yesterday, but first I'm just going to set it up here with some of the interpretations of that clip. Matt Wenzel covers the Penguins for the Post-Gazette, writes, "It sure sounds like the Penguins want to keep the band together this summer." Ron Hextall reiterated Tuesday, which was actually Monday, that they hope to re-sign Evgeny Malkin and Letang before the start of free agency. Josh Yowie, "This was a different Ron Hextall. Maybe 15 months on the job has changed his opinion of these Penguins, or maybe his new bosses have informed him that a slightly different route is expected. One way or the other, the Penguins GM wants to keep the band together for a while longer." Ron and everybody out there, let's listen to what Hextall said, and then we can make up our own mind.
"I don't negotiate through the media, you guys know that, but we have had discussions very recently, and we'll continue to have those discussions. We would like to sign both players. I think if you look at them individually, they've both been here 16 years. I mean, Gino's obviously been a great player, one of the greatest, certainly one of the best players in the history of the game, and we'd like to keep him as a Pittsburgh Penguin for the rest of his career. If in the perfect world, Gino retires a Penguin, and I think Tanger's the same. He's been here the same amount of time. These two are, they're generational players. They don't come along very often. And we'd like to keep them here through the end of their careers. Obviously, we have some issues and areas that we have to work through in terms of the salary cap. Everything's got to match up. And
It's a puzzle right now, and I wish we had more pieces in place to make it a little more clear, but it's hard to even venture to guess where we'll end up. We've got some pieces. We've got numerous outlines of teams that we would like to bring in, and obviously the numbers matter, so we'll continue to work with both guys and hopefully come to agreements with them at some point here. I have no timeline, though.
Ron?
All right.
Do you sense a different Hextall the way Wenzel and Yoey do or no?
No, I don't. I of course they want to keep them. I want to be a handsome man someday while I'm on this earth. It's probably not going to happen, though. They want to keep them, sure. But you did hear him say, in a perfect world.
Yes.
Well, I don't think this is a perfect world. And they have salary, and he mentioned the salary cap, A, and then he mentioned it again. We have issues. We got to put pieces together. I don't think they're both going to be back, nor do I think they both should be back. I mean, this is 4 years in a row. You can argue, okay, we outplayed the Islanders 2 years ago and lost. We outplayed the Rangers and lost. I'm just a big believer on not repeating history here. I'm ready to move on from both of them. If I had to pick one over the other, I would pick Letang because I think his minutes are really hard to replace. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what people would expect him to say other than, yeah, we would like to keep them.
But he went on for a while with that one. I mean, yeah, we'd love to keep them, but they're probably going to hit free agency. You know, we're not really talking to them right now. We're going to let them go ahead and test the market. There's none of that.
I think he knows he can't let them test the market, at least not Letang. You know, if Letang gets out there, he's going to get a huge money offer. Malkin, I'm not so sure of. So he's got to say, we're hoping to do it before free agency.
Okay, but we've had discussions very recently. We'll continue to have them. We'd like to sign. You know, I hear you. I guess what you're hearing is the same old, what Wenzel and Yoey are hearing is a very different tact. I mean, he could keep it a lot shorter, I'll say that,
no
and
doubt.
Simply say, of course we'd like to keep him. I don't know that we can, period.
No, that's
now, maybe
true.
He's just throwing roses Gino's way. I don't know. But I think there's a decent chance that they're going to keep both. They can if they want, by the way. If they want to go cheap on the back end of their roster.
Is that the smart way to go?
I think it's the back end of the roster that needs more reworking than the front end.
That's what I mean.
But I think you can do that with young players.
Well,
I think they need to get rid of a defenseman or two if they possibly can. I don't see these guys as the problem. I don't. I keep hearing about Gino's even strength lack of prowess. And then I look it up today. He had 11 even strength goals in 41 games. That's a pace for 22 such goals. Sid had 23. And Gino doesn't have line mates half the time. He had the missing man
right
part of the time. So I don't see him as the problem.
Now, do you see this as a potential problem? If you sign Malkin,
yeah,
your centers down the line are 35, 36, and 37 with Carter. Could that be a problem at some point soon?
Carter could be a problem some point soon. Yes, that's the signing that I question more than any other. I see Blueger.
Two more years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do see that as a potential problem. Absolutely. That's age, pure age, except the only one that I see aging before our eyes is Carter.
At the most important position, right, center.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think the back end needs to be done. And, you know, you sign Letang, then you still need six quality defensemen, although he can play almost part of two. You know, you say get rid of two. I don't know if you're talking about Matheson, Pettersson, Marino, somebody like that.
Yes.
You still got to have six guys.
Sure.
I mean, is Ricola going to be one?
No, he's gone.
P.O. Joseph going to be one?
Maybe.
Who else
maybe.
Is in there?
And depending on how much you sign these guys for, maybe you can bring in another cheap free agent like they did last summer. I don't know.
There's no question, I think, a little bit that Russ' deal helps them out, gives them a chance.
For sure.
More than they had before. If they thought they were going to, and I, you know, you aren't sure Russ would get a lot more on the open market. I'm thinking he would have got some more. This way, at least gives them a little more cap room, a little more wiggle room.
I thought he would have gotten more in annual salary, so I agree with you that in the meantime here, and by the time the back end of his deal comes around,
Malkin and Letang.
This era will be pretty much finished.
Right. Sid may still be playing.
But yeah, I agree. In the meantime, him at a little over $5 million gives you a chance.
Gives you a chance
to bring these guys back. Where does Gino want to go, by the way? Let's think of this from his perspective. When we talked about this a couple of years ago, it was like Florida or bust. I think we heard LA at one point.
He owns a home in Florida, right?
Does he want to go play for, I don't know, name a team, the Edmonton Oilers for a couple of years? Does he want to go play for who? The Devils? The Rangers? If I'm him and I'm 35, 36 years old, I don't really want to go anywhere, maybe other than Florida. And if, because I have a home there. And of course, they would need to want him and want to sign him.
Absolutely.
So if I'm him, and by the way, with him, he's been paid more than Sid and pretty significantly, I think, about $1 million more per year almost.
Because Sid signed his deal so long ago.
Yeah, for many, many years. He's been making more than Sidney Crosby. So he should take a discount. And I don't think 3 years, $17 million, I don't even think 3 years, $15 million is insulting, if indeed reports are accurate that way. Okay, so he comes in at 3 years, $18 million or $20 million. Can we split the difference? I mean, to me, it's very clear that a guy coming off knee surgery who's on pace, we call Gensel a star, he scored 40. Gino was on pace for 40. He had 20 in 41 games. So what's he on a bum knee?
10 years older is what he is.
Still on, still on pace for 40 goals.
He's got to fall off the cliff at some point, you would think. Not fall off the cliff, but his production's going to have to decline, I would guess.
Maybe. Maybe he has an off season where he can actually prepare as opposed to last off season.
No, because he was rehabbing his knee.
I mean, I still think of it, and then give him some line mates and imagine that. He was on pace for 40 with no line mates. What would he have done with Gensel and Rust? Yeah. He would have been on pace for 50. I mean, I just think he can still play. Of course, there's going to be some erosion. And maybe he does just drop off one day and he can no longer play. But in the meantime, especially if I get a guy like that at a discount, when they've been eliminated four straight years, them as the problem.
It all comes down, though, to the same thing. What are they going to want?
Right.
Malkin goes, I have an agent. I know what I have in mind here. Well, you know, we'll see if what they have in mind is what the Penguins have in mind.
Yes, that's going to be the whole key.
And, it always
and Hextall is. Made that clear. But, man, I think a lot of people who are around this team sense a different Hextall. Maybe it's not. But I have a feeling based on Fenway Sports Group and the signing of Rust and the way they do business, Ron, they're really not into rebuilds.
No.
Now you can go out and sign other players. I get it. But you already have, in my opinion, two guys who are really good.
This sure sounds like Hextall's planning on being around for a while too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely it does. I think he's been told you're our guy.
Yeah.
Can change quickly. I get that. But I think, you know, we would speculated before, maybe he wouldn't survive this offseason. In my mind, he's clearly going to survive.
It appears that way. I don't think you let him sign Rust and then put him out in front of the media and talk about all your plans moving forward if you're going to suddenly pull the plug
Absolutely.
On him.
Absolutely.
I think it would have happened right away.
That was my take, too.
What's yours? 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Did you sense a different Ron Hextall there? Yoey suggested maybe it's different because Fenway Sports Group, Tom Werner and company, have told him the direction that the franchise is taking. Let's sign these guys. And from the beginning, I might add, Ron, I felt like this was a possibility because people love these two guys. And you want that building with as many people as possible in it for those 41 dates. You know what I mean?
I do.
They're box office attractions, you know? So I considered that possibility from the beginning. And then in the meantime, we're going to get into revelations about the Dwayne Haskins tragedy that came yesterday. We'll talk about that next on Cook and Joe. Ron, the Dwayne Haskins tragedy officially ruled an accident yesterday. The toxicology report came out. The Miami Herald reported, I believe, first on this. stated that his blood alcohol content was between 0.20, 0.24, three times the legal limit, and that he was struck by two different vehicles eventually. It's just still unclear, I guess, why he was trying to cross the highway, although his wife on the 911 call from Pittsburgh that morning told the dispatcher that he was walking to get gas. So officially ruled accidental, 24 years old, just unbelievably tragic. I don't even know what to make of these revelations. Apparently there were some other substances in his system. I'm not clear exactly what those were. Are you?
No, apparently they're like anesthetics that can be used recreationally. I know nothing about that kind of stuff. I think this was like kind of our worst fear that this kind of toxicology would come back. But, you know, we all kind of knew it was a possibility. He's walking in traffic at 6 o'clock in the morning. It just made no sense. I mean, just tragic, just shows how, you know, one lapse of judgment can end up paying, you know, not just a stiff price, but the ultimate price. And I mean, it's just sad. Hopefully some people will learn from it. You can never be too careful. I wasn't surprised when I heard the news. I think I kind of expected there were going to be something like that. His wife sent out a note.
She did.
Through the attorney, don't rush to judgment here. I'm not rushing to judgment, but I mean, the toxicology report is what it is, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly those drugs, I don't even know what they are.
Anesthetics. I don't know what they are.
And then as far as drinking, I mean, I don't know. Was he driving the car? I don't know.
The combination of them, you know, who knows? But it is sad. It absolutely is so sad. Anybody so young, losing 24, like you said, I think he was closing in on his 25th birthday. Just tragic. Mm.
Well, in the meantime, we have Bob on the line. We're talking some Penguins. We're talking about whether you think that Ron Hextall sounded different yesterday about keeping these guys. And what exactly does he mean to make some of the numbers work here? I think Rust helped, as Ron said, if the intent is to keep Gino and Letang. And I definitely think getting rid of a contract. I don't think they can get rid of Zucker's contract. Maybe they can trade him and eat some of it. Can you get rid of part of a contract? Can you get rid of some of Pedersen's? Do you trade Dumoulin? Somewhere along the line, a $4 million defenseman has to go. They got too many of those guys. They're one of the highest paid defense corps in the league.
And I don't think they're that good.
Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how are you? Here's my question. If Jari and Andy Smith were not injured, I think they would have won. Period, against Rangers. And as far as, you know, I'm a Malkin fan, and I'm really very disheartened by the fact that so many people, they are saying, oh, Malkin has to go, Malkin has to go. In my opinion, the only reason that they're saying that is because they didn't see Malkin basically do his magic and single-handedly, you know, statistically, every time Malkin plays good, we win. Malkin plays not good, we usually lose. And losing Malkin, I think it's a very, very, very wrong. This guy is a superstar. His level of playing is above.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, Bob. One thing that I haven't mentioned sort of as part of the case to keep Malkin, and I think you're sort of getting to that, and we appreciate the call. Ron, when you have Gino, you have Sid insurance. And I don't know that, say, Trocheck, while he would give you a very different player, maybe in some ways a preferable player for some people, that edge, you know what I mean? What he wouldn't give you is a ready-made point-producing star. We saw it again this year, that when Crosby is out, you have. That's a big deal, I think, for them. Not only do you have it, you have a guy who comes in and plays his best hockey when he's needed, when Sid is out, you know?
No, I see that point, but didn't they have a better record without Malkin than they did with him? this
year.
Yeah,
but they have they've had that with Crosby over time too. I don't know that
again, you got to factor in the age thing here too, I think. You know, he's so easy to sign Russ cuz he's 30. Is it easy to sign a guy that's 36? What's the bottom line? What is he going to want?
When Sid is out, it's nice to have a star, point-producing star, step right in for him.
It is. But Sid's not – you can't make those decisions just based on that, I don't think.
No, that's just another factor.
It is a factor.
If Crosby leaves the lineup, they have a guy – that not many teams have a star center to replace a star center if he's out.
Right.
You know?
I just have doubts about how long Malkin is going to remain a star, I guess, because of his age.
Yeah, I hear that. And he's coming off a knee injury as well. That's a legitimate concern. Yes, he's in his mid and he's going on his late 30s. I think that's a legit concern.
What is he going to want? That's the key.
What if he wants? Well, that's not the key for you because you say no matter what he wants, you want to get rid of him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd love to keep Letang. I would love to keep him if the price is right. I don't know that I'm paying him $9 million for 5 or 6 years. If he takes a whole lot less,
we were talking Gino though.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, I have less of a problem with Malkin leaving than I do with Letang. But for their standpoint, if he gives them some sort of, you know, I don't want to use the word discount. If he takes less because he realizes where he is in his career and he wants to stay here,
Letang.
I'm talking about Malkin now.
Okay.
You got me.
You moved on. Not only were you, it's not having less of a problem. You actively want Gino gone.
If it's up to me, yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. And I would think that way about Letang, too. Because, again, these guys can't play forever. It's been 16 years. You know, they have gone out 4 years in a row. Right, wrong, indifferent. Was it their fault? No. They haven't won past the first round in 4 years. So you're going to let them get older a year and bring them all back together? I don't know that that's smart. I don't think it is.
No, I hear you. But why is them going out 4 years? Why does the brunt fall on those two and not
because
anybody else?
Because those are the two that are free agents right now. Those are the two we're trying to make a decision on.
So is Rust. But he's not old, you're saying.
He's 30 years old. That's right. And I think Rust was a better player than Malkin. But he's had his health issues too. I mean, he plays on defense. He kills penalties. Malkin doesn't. What was the game, the fourth game when they were up 7-2? Malkin played a minute 36 in the third quarter because they anchored him to the bench because they were trying to protect the lead. Rust is a two-way player, and he's 6 years younger. I think that's a big deal.
I just think not every first-round exit is the same. It's just not to me. I thought they played really well the last two, and they were undone by goaltending and a cheap shot to their star's head. That's all. I just don't lump it in as they've been out 4 years in a row, therefore don't sign these guys. If they had played poorly, I'd be all on board. I guess the moral for me is I still believe that this core can do good things together if they get representative NHL goaltending. You know?
I
think Sully sort of recaptured the team these past 2 years after two just deadly performances against the Islanders and Canadiens.
They did not deserve to go on those two.
I think coming back, they've been really good in these two series. I do. And I wouldn't mind giving them another shot, but yes, it comes
down to money. Yeah, but it's not about giving them another shot. It might be about giving them three, four, five more shots at their age.
I'm not giving Malkin a five-year deal.
If they sign a one-year deal, okay, that's a whole lot of difference for me.
Right.
But they're not going to sign a one-year deal.
Right, but a three-year deal for Gino, I think, is very reasonable. And then
Letang.
That would
match him up with what Sid has left.
Yeah. With Letang, we all agree that he's still playing at a very high level, and I think he'll continue at least for a few. I wonder about the back end of Russ's deal.
Right.
He's a guy whose game is built on speed, and what's he going to be like at 35, 36? And yet, I love the deal because I want to keep this team intact at the upper end for the next 2 to 3 years with Sid.
You're happy to keep Russ because that line is one of the best in Penguins history and still was playing that way into the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Crosby, and Rust.
Absolutely.
Plus they're all, you know, well, Sid's no kid anymore, but what's Gensel? 26, 27, and Rust 30.
Yeah. So find some line mates for Gino, and then we can talk about how good or bad he's going to be instead of saddling him with Kasperi Kapanen, for God's sakes.
Right.
And find a way to fix maybe your bottom six and add a little personality instead of having six of the same guys running around, and fix your defense and get rid of some contracts. Somebody asked Maddie here about restructuring contracts in the NHL. Obviously, that's not something you can do, but why not? Why shouldn't you be able to restructure?
You know, like football does?
Yes.
Convert so much into a signing bonus and, you know,
have guys redo their deals?
Spread it out down the road.
Yeah.
Kick the can down the road.
Kick the can.
Aren't the Steelers masters at doing that?
Well, they haven't had
They were for a while.
They haven't exactly had a lot of success with it lately.
They might have kicked a few too many cans down the road. All right, Ron. We have OTAs opening today.
Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to show up?
Who's going to show up? Who didn't show up for Deontay Johnson's youth camp? We'll tell you about that next.
Not a good look.
Somebody very important didn't show up for Deontay Johnson's
youth camp. Did that sound like an A-B move, or did that sound like an A-B move?
Let's talk about that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.